Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, America's libertarian voice, an independent streaming internet radio station broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma to around the world. I'm your host, Joe Cristiano, and this is your antidote to popular talk radio. This broadcast is being brought to you live on Thursday morning, November 26, 2009, is now 6:31 a.m. Central Standard Time in the good old USA. And happy Thanksgiving to everyone. Folks, it's time for us to take back control of our government now before this bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program, it's just about that. During our live broadcast, we invite you to call 646-652-4620 or send us email anytime to comments@libertytalkradio.com. That's comments@libertytalkradio.com. I also encourage you to get educated on economic issues. Go to Andy Sutton's website, sutton-associates.com. That's sutton-associates.com. In his bi-weekly newsletter, Andy discusses economic issues and how they affect you. You can also listen to Andy's commentary on ContraryInvestorsCafe.com. Lastly, I would like to remind our listeners to subscribe to our reminder service by visiting our website and clicking on the subscribe icon. And all you'll get, folks, we do not sell your email at all. It's all private and confidential. It'll just be a reminder that we're going to have a program, when it's going to be, and what the subject's going to be, and you can click it off in a second. So it won't take much time on your email. I know I get too much myself. Well, happy Thanksgiving, everyone. It is Thursday morning, and we're still going to broadcast. We try to make this every Thursday regardless, and I'm proud that we've been able to do this now for, over 3 years now, I guess, and broadcasting such as this. We no longer have our standard Sunday evening broadcast. However, we do have special guests, and while I have Andy back on our program, possibly we'll do that next week or the week following, to give us an update on economic activity. We know things appear to be getting better. I'm going to emphasize that one word, and you know which one that is. Today, I'd like to read a few emails, in fact, because they're all pertinent to our discussion today. The first one is from Andy. And Andy says this. He says, Joe, great job on your latest podcast. Well, of course I did it. It must have been great because I did it. No, I appreciate it very much, Andy. As a market libertarian / closet anarchist, I also wish more folks would be a bit more objective instead of instantly recoiling in horror at the mere mention of the word. I like the word recoiling at the in horror. I like that. That's a beautiful choice of words. Anarchy does not mean the absence of law and order. Like you, I have friends and family who have big government status thought patterns virtually ingrained in their DNA. And that's another good point, because it seems that once people get that ingrained in their minds or their DNA or whatever that happens to them, they object to anything anyone says about it. I mean, they can't accept it. They can't discuss it. They get belligerent. They get, and it's almost as if they've been absolutely, absolutely brainwashed. Just like when we used to see these pictures of these kids going to schools in the communist nations at young ages and say, kill America, you know, and it becomes ingrained in them. It seems that people here in America also have that same mentality, and they don't realize it. I think that's an excellent point also. They may concede every point, but in the end, they walk away with, yes, but. And I've done a program on that, the yes, but syndrome. Oh, I agree with you, but. You know, and I hate that. Just say, I disagree with you, you slob, and I'll feel better about it. Right? And lapse back into comfortable habits. And that's another good point. People feel comfortable with their thoughts. They can be absolutely incorrect, but they feel comfortable with them. So they stay there. They do not want to get out of their area of comfort. This is probably one of the best emails I have ever received. And this email has more meat in it and more pertinent facts in it. It says more about our culture than any email that I have ever received. The fairness doctrine was necessary and a good idea at the time. If not for the feds regulating air traffic, people would not have used airplanes. Without Fed, we'd have endless depressions. The FDA does a great job protecting us. On and on, blah, 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 blah. As my grandfather used to say, you know, all the best. Anyway, Andy, that's an excellent email. I'm going to save that one because that says it all. Now, when he says his grandfather says, he mentioned something here, and I cannot pronounce it. Now, I'm going to pronounce it incorrectly, so that's why I did not read it. So, Andy, I apologize for not reading that. Anyway, excellent email. I have one here also. This is from Kurt? I'm not sure. There's no name on it. I just have an email address. It says, I was under the impression that the federal government is established by the U.S. Constitution, whereby three co-equal branches were created, executive, legislative, and judicial. They don't teach that anymore in school, by the way. Kids wouldn't even know what you're talking about. It was also my understanding that being co-equal, none of the three had authority over the other. And he goes on and on. He says, how is it then that the New Orleans federal judge can order Congress to allocate funds and the executive branch to pay these funds through the OMB? The idea is that a judge can find the federal government liable and order the other two branches to pay damages is outrageous. This is yet another liberal absurdity of the 10th degree and could only arise from the most leftist of paradigms. The president should block OMB from paying this award and prosecute any federal employee who attempted to do so for misappropriation of federal funds. This is what the president has sworn to do when he took the oath to uphold the Constitution. I agree. Thank you very much for your email. Now, here's one that hits to the heart of our problems today. This is so perfect, this email. This is from a fellow Todd, who's a listener, and sends me emails regularly. In fact, I know Todd. I've knew him when he lived here in Tulsa and now lives in Houston. A super guy, absolute super guy. And he said, how true. He said, this is from a Dr. Starner Jones, M.D., in Jackson, Mississippi. And he said, Dear Sirs, this is a letter that he wrote to the government. I'm not really sure. Let me see if it says here. This was a letter to the editor on August 29th in Jackson, Mississippi. Okay, the MS newsletter. All right. During my last night shift in the ER, I had the pleasure of evaluating a patient with a shiny new gold tooth, multiple elaborate tattoos, a very expensive brand of tennis shoes, and a new cellular phone equipped with her favorite R&B tune for a ringtone. Glancing over the chart, one could not help noticing her payer status, Medicaid. She smokes more than one costly pack of cigarettes every day and somehow still has money to buy beer. And our Congress expects me to pay for this woman's health care. Our nation's health care crisis is not a shortage of quality hospitals, doctors, or nurses. It is a crisis of culture, a culture in which it is perfectly acceptable to spend money on vices while refusing to take care of oneself or, heaven forbid, purchase health care insurance. A culture that thinks I can do whatever I want because someone else will always take care of me. Life is really not that hard. Most of us reap what we sow. Don't you agree? And I could not agree more, Doctor. That is a heck of a problem. And I've had people complain that they've gone to the supermarket and noticed people paying for groceries, so staples, with their food stamps. But in addition to that, they had cigarettes and steak and all sorts of crap, you know, that they buying that detrimental to them. So we are not only subsidizing their food, but we are actually enabling them to buy crap food, which will probably get them sick, make them wind them up in the hospital, in which case they'll be on Medicaid. So we are paying double, triple, quadruple, and we keep on making the same mistake. People must be responsible for themselves. Folks, my name is Joe Cristiano. You're listening to Liberty Talk Radio. This is Happy Thanksgiving. I would like for you to call, if anyone's listening, 646-652-4620 with your opinion. That's 646-652-4620. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. I'd love to hear from you. All right. The last one is just actually an article. And this article really, really hit home. And it's really a perfect segue for our topic of discussion this morning, which is autonomy. The title of it is, Why Don't Students Like School? Well, duh, it says, Peter Gray. And what Peter Gray says, in essence, he says, schools are prisons. And I could not agree. This guy says it's so beautiful. School is prison. He says, let's not be afraid to say it. And he repeats it. School is prison. School is prison. School is prison. And he keeps on saying it over and over again. He suggests that just possibly they don't like school because they like freedom. And in school, they are not free. Now, this goes back to our discussion about our school system of packing 20, 30, 40 kids in a schoolroom, in a classroom, having them all sit there, each kid having different talents. They're actually all different ages. Now, chronologically, they may all be, you know, 12 years old or whatever, but they're all different. They're all in different places and different times. They mature differently. You have gals, girls, and boys there, a mixture. No one's on the same page, folks. Not one person in that school, that classroom, is on the same page. And you have one teacher who's not asking them to start you to think critically. Not one person's thinking critically. They're being asked to memorize so they can pass a test, so the teacher doesn't lose their job. And he goes on to say, he says, telling the truth makes us seem so mean. And he's right. Saying something like this is mean. How could you be against school? How could a democratic government, which is founded on the principle of freedom and self-determination, make laws requiring children and adolescents to spend a good portion of their days in a prison? It's unthinkable. And so we try hard to avoid thinking about it. He's absolutely correct. Absolutely correct. This is a fact. This is fabulous. I read this. I gloated over this thing. I was in Starbucks drinking coffee. I couldn't keep my mind. I read it over and over again. He goes on to say, the only difference that I can think of is that to get into prison, you have to commit a crime. But they put you in school just because of your age. He's absolutely correct. We say, bring the kids to school. They're not schools. They're indoctrination camps. Ask the children about the three forms of government. Ask about the Constitution. Ask about freedom. They have no idea what you're talking about. They probably say something like, I got to ask permission before I answer the question. You are told exactly what you must do in school, and you are punished for failing to comply. What does that sound like? Sounds like our school system. What else does it sound like? Sounds like some authoritarian Marxist type of government. And then he goes on to say, so in a sense, school is worse than prison. If children don't like school, according to this rationalization, it's not because school is prison, it's because the Warrens are not kind enough or amusing enough or smart enough to keep the children's minds occupied. To that extent, they use their freedom precisely to educate themselves. If kids would use their freedom to educate themselves, that's what he's saying. I'm jumping around a little bit. They are biologically prepared to do that. That's what many of my previous posts have been about. Children explore and play freely in ways designed to learn about the physical and social world in which they are developing. In school, they are told they must stop following their interests and instead do what the teacher is telling them to do. Or telling them what they must do, even worse, what they must do. That is why they don't like school. All the efforts have avoided the elephant and focused instead on trying to clean up the dander. But as long as the elephant is there, the dander just keeps piling up. Folks, we have to realize that, and we have to get out of our system all of these stupid belief systems that we have, like school is good. If you go to school, it's good. If you don't go to school, it's bad. That's a belief system. Schools are not free. Joyful learning requires freedom. Folks, I can say no more. And what does that have to do about our program? Well, because in school, you lose your autonomy. There is no autonomy. Absolutely none. You are just a kid behind a desk who has to take a test the next day on predetermined questions that make absolutely no sense and are absolutely worthless. And most teachers, folks, unfortunately, aren't too bright. Because if they were bright, they wouldn't be teachers. Isn't that terrible? No one ever wants to say that. Everybody wants to glorify the teachers. They want to sanctify the whole thing by saying, oh, teachers are so our most important citizens. They have our children in hands. No, they don't. They have a job. They think they know what they're doing. They don't. If you ask a teacher about the Constitution, about freedom and how people learn, they wouldn't know. Unfortunately, the teachers that I have met, I have not been impressed with. Very few have I been impressed with. The only ones I have really been impressed with have been really strict English teachers. I mean that. The real strict English teachers. You know why? Because when the kid says, he don't do that no more, you know, the kid got soap in his mouth. He says, say that one more time or remove your teeth, you illiterate idiot. You know better. Why do you talk that way? Well, it's because my friends talk that way. You know, they said, well, you don't have any friends, you idiot. They're going to drag you down to their level, and you're going to stay there for the rest of your life. Is that what you want to do? If that's what you want to do, you don't need this class because I can't teach you anything. Then they get slapped on the hands, and they got to sit there until they speak properly. Now, that I go for. The only good teachers were strict English teachers. Most history teachers aren't worth a damn. They had no idea what history is. They teach exactly what's in the book. If a teacher was worth a damn, they'd say, I won't teach this crap. This is crap. This is not history. These are lies. What are we telling our kids lies for? But I know plenty of teachers. If I said, why do you teach your children this history? It's not true. They get so angry. You have no idea. I mean, they go from very, very sweet little ladies to killers. They want to rip your eyes out. We should do away with all schools. Education has to do with the parents, with the family. Let the kids learn. Kids will learn. No, kids won't sit there and watch TV. And if they do, take the TV and roll it down the street. Disconnected. Oh, they're staying on their little computer all day. Get rid of the computer. Kids used to learn a lot when they played in the street. They learned social skills. They learned what they knew and what they didn't know. They learned how to get along with people. Not anymore. They do this all virtual. Because people do not have what is one ingredient for a happy life. There's three ingredients for a happy life. That's autonomy, competence, and relationships. Autonomy, competence, and relationships. I read that a long time ago. I have it on my drum set. So I see it every day. Autonomy, competence, and relationships. Let me tell you what autonomy is. This is from Webster. Merriam-Webster Dictionary. Autonomy is the quality or state of being self-governing. Holy smoke! How many people do you think are self-governing? Oh, they walk around like they're big, big shots, but they're not self-governing. They may appear to be, oh, you know, I'm tough, you know, I don't need anybody, you know. They're garbage people. Garbage brains. Idiots. The quality or state of self-governing, especially the right of self-government. Number two, self-directing freedom and especially moral independence. Holy smoke, that's a good one. Moral independence. We're not morally independent, we're morally dependent. We go and look for someone to give us a definition, we believe it whether it's right or not, and we hang on to it for the rest of our lives. Independence, this is when we think critically. But we can't think critically because we spent our young years, our learning years, in a stupid prison. Well, the teacher had no idea why they're standing there. Who should be objecting to the whole thing in the first place? If you had any sense of autonomy to yourself, you lost it when you went to school. That's my segue for that. And number three says self-governing state. In other words, someone who is truly independent. Now, that does not mean a snob. That doesn't mean someone says, I'm better than you. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do, and you know these people who are confident, who you're actually drawn toward, because they're not dependent on everything around them. They are, you know, their own person. Let's go back to that letter from that MD saying, look, these people are relying on everybody else to have their stuff done. Medicaid, the hospitals, all this other stuff. These people are not autonomous. These people are leeches. In other words, autonomy is the opposite of being a leech. And we've lost that, folks. People complain about everything, but no one changes their circumstances. Change your circumstance. You change your circumstance through being competent at something. If you're competent at something, that means you are confident and you know what you're doing. That means you have to think, you have to act, you have to break through barriers. And so many of those barriers happen to be the belief systems that you were grown up with. That were instilled in your mind when you were in school. And when I say belief systems, folks, I'm not talking about religion. Please. I hate email whenever I say that. Now, it could be that a religion is holding you back. It could be, because it's a belief system that prevents you from doing something. I'm not talking about that, though. Or religion could set you free. Just depends on what your definition is, how you interpret your religion. You know, people are always looking for some sort of entity to solve their predicament. And you know what? And we constantly reinforce that on television. How do we do that? Look at the ads on TV. I hate TV. You have no idea how much I hate TV. I hate it with a passion. I do not have one of those modern flat screen TVs because I'm not going to waste my time on one. In fact, the TV I have is my mother-in-law when she passed away. It was bequeathed to us, basically. And the TV's 100 years old. When it blows up and it dies, I swear to God, I'm not going to replace it. I'm not replacing it. I don't want one. I do watch the drag races on TV. I used to drag race when I was young. I enjoy watching that. I do that late at night before I go to bed because it clears my mind. But let me give you an example of what we see on TV and how it strips us of our autonomy. An ad comes on. It says, bad credit holding you back? Bad credit holding you back. People, yeah, it sure is. Sure is. I got big business. Bad credit, man. It's bad stuff. Bad credit's holding me back. Bad credit's holding me back. You know, like bad credit was a thing that was attacking you. That you were there, sitting there, innocent, not doing anything, and bad credit came on and took over your life. Like a virus or a bacteria. But they don't say, were you stupid enough? Were you irresponsible enough? Were you ignorant enough to keep on piling on debt after debt after debt when you damn well knew you couldn't pay it back? In other words, for instant gratification, you ruined your future. If you're that stupid, maybe we can help you out. We doubt it, but maybe. No, we say, is bad credit help holding you back? What do you mean, bad credit? Bad credit's not a thing. It's something that you do. They make it a noun. It's a verb. But because we lost our autonomy, our ability to self-govern, to be independent, to be critical thinkers, because we lost that ability, we lost our autonomy, now we blame it on a noun that's really a verb. Folks, this country's gone to pot. No hope. Here's another one that I love. Diabetes holding you back? Go to so-and-so and they'll mail you these supplies and then you can go on with your life. Diabetes is 100% avoidable, 100%, maybe 99.9%. Because we eat all the wrong foods. The result? Diabetes. So we don't do anything, we don't have to change anything. All we've got to do is sign up on Medicare or some other program so we get free supplies, free insulin or whatever they get sent to you, have somebody else pay for it, inject yourself, and then you can go on doing the same stupid thing you've been doing before. That's a problem. This country lacks autonomy, and that ties in with everything else, folks. It's a shame. And if you say, where are we going as a nation? I don't think we're going in the right direction, folks. And, you know, the President of the United States is not going to help us. Not help us one iota. It's not the President, because that's like saying bad credit. It's us. It is absolutely, absolutely us. We have met the enemy, and it is us. This is the end of today's broadcast. We'd like to thank Ranchaco's Audiology for their financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. We would love for you around Thanksgiving table to bring these subjects up and see what the reaction is. You'll see a turkey be flying all over the room. Dead turkey would be flying again. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends and let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. Remember, you're either allowing your liberties to be taken away or you're striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there is no middle ground. Folks, freedom is like riding a motorcycle. You feel free, liberated. Your life is in your own hands. But with that freedom comes responsibility and risk. The government's like training wheels. They control the ride and your every move, and you lose your autonomy. Ron Paul has a sign in his that says, don't steal, the government hates competition. With that, until next time, I'm Joe Cristiano. This is Liberty Talk Radio. Stay well. Stay tuned.